Blog Talk Radio.
Hey you, with a rhinestone dog collar. Between us dogs, I just convinced my human to upgrade to a new home with a 1,200 square foot bathroom. I think she called it a yard. With Wells Fargo's 3% down mortgage option, my human realized a new home was within reach. And I only gave her puppy eyes once. Get your human to talk to a mortgage consultant or learn more at wellsfargo.com/woof.
Wells Fargo Home Mortgage. Down payments as low as 3% on a fixed rate loan require mortgage insurance. Ask a home mortgage consultant about loan requirements. Wells Fargo Home Mortgage is a division of Wells Fargo Bank N.A. Equal housing lender. NMLS ID 399801.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Mission from the Heart Radio. And I just want to thank God and thank God for you, for being a faithful listener to this teaching broadcast and how it refreshes our heart, how it brings delight to our soul, and how the very Word of God helps us to grow and go in grace. Not only grow and go in grace, but the very Word of God helps us to have perfect vision. And I just want to continue to encourage you to be a faithful listener to this broadcast and to also be a faithful witness, of Jesus Christ, never losing the type of relationship and vision that you are to have as a listener of Jesus Christ, as a visionary of Jesus Christ, as a beautiful witness to others as a Christ follower. So praise the Lord. We are going to be in delight of a good treat concerning this teaching track. And before I start, I have asked a sister in Christ to open the broadcast with prayer. So I want our sister in Christ, Shirley, to bless the Lord God with a prayer of worship. So if you could, brothers and sisters, just be in partnership with us and touch and agree as Shirley leads us in a prayer of worship to our God. So Shirley, thank you for being on the broadcast again. And if you could, just go right into prayer, sister.
Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Father God, and praise you, Father God, for all that you are and all of who you are, Father God. We thank you, Lord God, because if it wasn't for you, Father God, we wouldn't be here today, Father God, on the radio broadcast, Lord Jesus. Have your way, Father. We worship you in spirit and truth. You El Shaddai, you Elohim, you Jehovah Raphi. Father God, Jehovah Nisi, Lord God, we worship and praise, Lord God, in my name of Jesus. Father, we want to thank you and praise your holy name, and we thank you in advance for what you're about to do for the broadcast, Lord God, and the many blessings that's going to be upon your people on tonight, Lord Jesus. Anyway, Lord God, continue to take over the broadcast, Lord God, bless Lord God. Continue to be praised, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for us and our body, Lord God, these able to bring the broadcast. Father God, I thank you because you, I can't thank you enough, Father God, for all that you have done for us and what you're going to be doing for us, Father God. Have your way, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray, amen.
Amen. Amen. Shirley is a faithful prayer. Her ministry, one of her ministries, is a heart of prayer. And I just am so delighted in my spirit, in my soul, should I say, when you pray, sister. And I am just so forever grateful for your faithfulness to God and your faithfulness in prayer, as many other ministry gifts that you have. But when you pray, I tell you, it is just so heartfelt. And I just want to thank you again praying and opening the broadcast up with a prayer of worship to our God, to our Savior. So thank you, sister. We're going to get right into our lesson. And for those of you who have contacted us by way of the internet or your cell phone device and listening to this broadcast, let's look at our lesson in Scripture. But I want to think of our lesson today from a natural viewpoint, in a sense. And we're familiar with tunnel vision and panoramic vision, but our lesson today is tunnel vision versus panoramic vision. Now, I'm one that likes to define words in a sense to kind of help us simplify our understanding of God's word and to help us simplify understanding of how we are to interpret and understand and share God's word in all its beauty. So let's look at the lesson. And I have a question for you. And the question is, do you have tunnel vision or panoramic vision? Tunnel vision or panoramic vision? Look at it this way. All believers are to remain focused upon God, not the leaders of the world. Our focus remains on Christ. Through many ways, when believers exercise their spiritual gifts in service to others, devotion and prayer with God, in Bible study, and sharing the gospel with others. Think of it like this. Tunnel vision in these areas keeps our focus in perspective. Panoramic vision, on the other hand, in a sin-sick world, will cause many to be led astray like a sheep without a shepherd. And I want to help us understand the difference between tunnel vision versus panoramic vision. Now, tunnel vision, it's a word that's a noun, and tunnel vision is the tendency to focus exclusively on a single or limited goal or point of view. Let me repeat that. Tunnel vision is the tendency to focus exclusively on a single or limited goal or point of view. Panoramic vision, on the other hand, is the tendency to focus on too much. You have a wider angle of area, and within that wide angle of area, you can see a lot more. Now, keep those two perspectives in mind. Tunnel vision, focus exclusively on a single, not plural, single, not many, limited. Whereas panoramic, you can see more, you have a bigger picture, and your focus is not limited, but you have more of an array of picture. You have the tendency to see too much. And the reason why I'm making the difference or making the correlation between the two types of vision is to bring us in context or in relationship to what God wants us to do as children, as believers in Christ Jesus. Now, in my intro, I indicated that believers are to remain focused upon God, not the leaders of the world. Remain focused and not the leaders of the world. Now, remember, we live in a sin-sick world, and it's raging of self-absorbency, pride, and it stands, its foundation is on me, myself, and I, talking about the world, in that panoramic window, panoramic vision, panoramic view. And it gives you too much to see, which causes us to fall into destruction or fall astray, like a sheep without a shepherd. Think about it this way. When a sheep is in the confinement of his caretaker, the shepherd is the protector of the sheep. The shepherd is the provider of the sheep. The shepherd gives guidance, direction, and the shepherd leads the sheep to fresh water, green pastures for food. The shepherd provides a safe gate for the sheep to go in for refuge. The shepherd. But when a sheep or a few sheep go astray, and we've heard it put this way, they go astray to where there's grass that may be greener on the other side of the fence. And we may have heard it this way, when the sheep look to the left or look to the right, the tendency is to go to the left or go to the right. When the shepherd says, stay focused on me, your vision should be on the shepherd. Your vision should be in the mindset of what the shepherd brings to your life and what the shepherd provides for your life. But when the sheep goes astray, then they are a sheep led to slaughter, meaning that any beast of the field will devour them. And I'm using words that hopefully you are familiar with in comparison to the adversary, Satan himself. Satan is the devourer. He devours the sheep. Who are the sheep that belong to the shepherd? The sheep are the believers in Christ Jesus. We are his sheep, and he our shepherd. And David wrote that very well in the 23rd Psalm that so many of us are familiar with. But think about it. As the sheep goes astray, he walks through a panoramic window or a panoramic vision, and he sees so much more. At least he thinks there's so much more. And when he goes astray, everything dominoes. It looks good, but it may not be good for you. He looks good, but he may not be good for you. She looks good, but she may not be good for you. The leaders look good, they sound good, they appear to be good, they're dressed up well, they look good to the sight, but deep down inside, in the crevices of their heart, they are not good for you. So they lead you astray. Now, that's through the panoramic vision, because you see so much more. So the sheep went astray. Now, when the sheep goes astray, what happens? Every beast of the field has privy to that sheep. Every beast of the field. And so when we continue to go astray, then the sheep will become devoured. And that sheep will lose its life because it went through the panoramic window. Scripture calls that the wide road of discretion. The Bible describes that panoramic window as the wide road of destruction. So when we are going through a window or a vision of panoramic, then we have the tendencies to be devoured by whatever leads us astray. So now the shepherd has to go and recover his lost sheep. He goes and he fights for that sheep. He will fight off lions. He will fight off the beast of the field in order to bring that sheep back to the pasture or back to the flock, back to safety. The shepherd will do everything in his power to reclaim the lost sheep. He will leave the 99 and he will go after the one that has been led astray. Now, keep it in perspective. Now, spiritually speaking, our shepherd is Jesus Christ himself. Our focus is Jesus Christ himself. He was the sacrificial lamb that died on the cross for both you and me. And our points for this teaching track is point one, if you would make note. Point one being focus. That is point one. Point two is faith. And point three is promise. So these are going to be the 3 points to this teaching series, tunnel vision or panoramic vision. And I just wanted to share the illustration of a shepherd and his sheep. And he does everything within his power to protect his sheep. So when he goes to reclaim that lost sheep, what does the shepherd do? The shepherd will literally break one of the sheep's legs. He will break that sheep's leg and place the sheep around his shoulders and bring him back to safety, bring him back with the rest of the flock, the rest of the sheep. And while he is there, lame and in pain, he will be nurtured and he will be healed back to repair. The shepherd will put a splint on his leg and he will stay close to the shepherd when he heals back to be able to walk in the manner he is supposed to. Now think about that. Now, that's a shepherd concerning his sheep, because the sheep went through the panoramic vision or view or window, the grass that was greener over to the left or over to the right. But the shepherd went to reclaim a lost sheep or a disobedient sheep or a sheep that has the tendencies to wander off or walk down what they seem to think is greener on the other side. And he breaks the leg of that sheep so that it can be back in line with the rest and guided by the shepherd. So that spirit of wandering or that desire to wander off or that mindset to want to worry or get discouraged, or get anxiety attacks, whatever it may be concerning the woes of the world in comparison to leadership that has taken place in the world that we have no control over. That is a wandering of mind, living as if there's no hope, anxious in all the wrong areas. But the sheep was broken by way of his leg, and he was carried back to the shepherd of safety, and he was healed by way of putting a splint, that his body would be healed, that the brokenness would be healed, that he would be in submission to the shepherd. The shepherd is the head. The shepherd is the focus. The shepherd is the safety. Think about it. And when he's healed, then he is in conformity of what the shepherd does for him, for the sheep. for the lost one. And he will be in conformity. He would be in submission. He would be led by the shepherd, that all that he needs and all of his provisions will be made by way of the shepherd. Only the shepherd. Not the greener grass. Not what he thought would provide for him over there to the left or either to the right, but only the shepherd. Now, I want to make the emphasis on tunnel vision versus panoramic, because as we see with the shepherd and the sheep, the panoramic vision gives us more to see, but more destruction as we venture off, more to see, but never warned about the troubles we may get into, more to see, but never cautioned about what lies ahead or maybe right around the corner concerning our life. So now that I've painted this picture of panoramic vision, let's look at tunnel vision. And as I've indicated, we live in a sin-sick world. Yes, we do. And the sin-sick world causes us to lose sight of our shepherd. It causes us to see in a manner that we should not be seeing. So let's keep this in perspective. Let's focus on who we should maintain tunnel vision with. And we know that to be Jesus Christ. So let's look at some scripture. But let me paint this different picture. Now that I've painted the picture of a shepherd and his sheep, let's look at this picture. Let's look at the prodigal son. We know the story, and if you don't, it's in the New Testament, but the prodigal son was a child of a father who had two sons, and this particular son wanted his inheritance. And the father gave him all that he was to give him concerning his inheritance. Now, his brother, on the other hand, stayed close to his father. Think about it as the sheep and the shepherd. And the other brother stayed close. He stayed at home. He did not want his inheritance early, but the younger son wanted his inheritance. And the father, as loving as he is, gave his son his inheritance. All of it. Not a portion, not a piece, but every bit of it. And when the son was ecstatic, he was excited about his inheritance. What did the son do? In short, the son left home, just like the sheep, and he squandered all of his inheritance on fast living, hot women, food to his delight, pleasures to his delight. But unfortunately, when it was all over and said and done, when all of his inheritance ran out, he got to a position in his life when he was totally in a place that most Jews thought were unclean, and that was living or caring for swine, pigs. And he became a person that was literally caring for pigs, eating what pigs ate, and that was totally beneath him in Scripture. And when he saw himself in a position that was not himself by the way his father raised him and provided for him and gave to him, he finally came to his senses and he said this: I can go back to my father's house and be a hired hand or hired help and eat and live better than the way that I am living with the pigs, with the swine eating pig slop. So he came to himself. He came to the right mind that he should have been in. And he went back home to his father, where all of the provision was made for him, where everything was taken care of for him, where there was plenty, and he was never in lack. But his disobedience led him to a place that he was not used to, led him to a place that there was less than, led him to a place that he realized that my plenty is back home where my father is. My plenty is back home where my family is, just like the sheep who was led astray. He wanted to go out through a panoramic window and be delighted by the things of the world. So we see this in the prodigal son and how he was led astray through panoramic vision. And now we want to look at a story in scripture that reflects tunnel vision. And the character that I want to launch this lesson, tunnel vision versus panoramic vision, the character is David in 1 Samuel. David in 1 Samuel, and we know David as being the person or the young boy who was a shepherd. He was a shepherd by trade in his father's kingdom, in his father's land, should I say. And he was caring for the shepherd. He had brothers, but he was the younger out of the rest. And he was always out there caring for the sheep. We know this in 1 Samuel. And you can read about that in detail. But I want to fast forward concerning David as him being a man after God's own heart, according to 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. So let's start there in 1 Samuel 13. God anointed David. He anointed David after the king of the Jews, Saul of Israel, Saul was totally disobedient in what God commanded him to do. So if you would go to 1 Samuel in the Old Testament in your scripture, and in chapter 13, it talks about God rejecting Saul, who was anointed by Samuel the prophet, God himself through Samuel. He was anointed, but Saul got full of himself. He thought he was more than. And so he lost focus. He started visualizing through the panoramic window. Saul, who was anointed by God through the prophet Samuel. And so Saul was disobedient. He started showing behavior, just as the prodigal son. And so God saw the disobedience, took the anointing or the Holy Spirit from him, Saul, and he told the prophet Samuel to anoint this young boy in the fields caring for his father's sheep. And this young boy, his name was David. And David was anointed by the prophet Samuel in scripture, and God saw the heart of the boy, and he had purpose. So now our first point that we're going to look at is focus, and we want to see in scripture, I want to expose in Scripture how focused David was. Now, we know David wrote the majority of the Psalms, so that lets you know right there that he was focused on God, the Father. When he penned all of the Psalms down, he was focused not only on God, but he was focused on God's heart for him. He was focused on the great shepherd. He was focused on God's provision. He was focused on God's protection. He was focused. Listen to some reasons or some characteristics that describe David as a man called after God's own heart. David was humble. David was reverent. David was respectful. David was trusting. David was loving. He was devoted. He was recognized, had recognition. He was faithful. David was obedient. And David was repentant. Now, these characteristics of David show why he was a man after God's own heart. Humble, reverent, respectful, trusting, loving, devoted, recognition, faithful, obedient, and repentant. So I hope you may have written those down, and if you didn't get all of them, then you can go back and listen to the broadcast to get all of these characteristics of David, who is called a man after God's own heart. So let's look at, in Scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 13, and we're going to read verse 14. And it reads this way, 1 Samuel 13, verse 14. I'm going to back this up to verse, I'm going to read the entire chapter 13, and I'll stop in verse 14. So we'll read 1 Samuel 13, 1 through 15. And I'm going to read this in the NIV translation. So follow along in your translation, and let's see what the scriptures show us, teach us. Saul was 30 years old when he became king, and he reigned over Israel 42 years. Saul chose 3,000 men from Israel. 2,000 were with him at Michmash, and in the hill country of Bethel, and the 30 and 1,000 were with Jonathan at Gilba in Benjamin. The rest of the men he sent back to their homes. Jonathan attacked the Philistine outposts in Geba, and the Philistines heard about it. Then Saul had a trumpet blown throughout the land and said, "Let the Hebrews hear." So all Israel heard the news. Saul has attacked the Philistine outpost. And now Israel has become a stench to the Philistines. And the people were summoned to join Saul in Gilgal. The Philistine assembled to fight Israel with 3,000 chariots, 6,000 charioteers, and soldiers as numerous as the sand on the seashore. Now, that's a lot of men. They went up and camped at Michmash, east of Beth Avon. When the men of Israel saw that their situation was critical and that their army was hard-pressed, they hid in cleves or caves and thickets, among the rocks and in pits and cisterns. Some Hebrews even crossed the Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. Saul remained in Gilgal, and all the troops with him were quaking with fear. He waited 7 days, the time set by Samuel, but Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and Saul's men began to scatter, so they were afraid. So he said, "Bring me the burnt offering and the fellowship offering." And Saul offered up the burnt offering. Just as he finished making the offering, Samuel arrived, and Saul went out to greet him. "What have you done?" asked Saul. Saul replied, "When I saw that the men were scattering and that you did not come at the set time and that the Philistines were assembling at Michmash, I thought, now the Philistines will come down against me in Gilgal, and I have not sought the Lord's favor. So I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering." Now, if you listen to Saul, he's taking matters in his own hands because he focused on the fear of the men and the worry of this big, mighty army coming to destroy him. And so he says, "I felt compelled to offer the burnt offering." In verse 13, "You acted foolishly," Samuel said. "You have not kept the command the Lord your God gave you. If you had, he would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time." So he disobeyed. Saul disobeyed what God commanded him to do, and that is to trust and obey. "But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out." Now here is where God has a ram in the bush for the Israel people. Verse 14, "But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader over his people." His chosen people were the Israelites. "Because you have not kept the Lord's command." Then Samuel left Gilgal and went up to Gibeth in Benjamin, and Saul counted the men who were with him. They numbered about 600. Now let's think about this. Because of God's command to Saul, "You trust me, you obey me, you keep my command, and you seek me first. And Samuel is my prophet, whom I speak through." But Saul took matters in his own hands. Now, how many times do we lose focus because of fear? We lose focus because of uncertainty. We lose focus because of worry, and we lose focus because of who's in charge of this world. We lose sight of God, so we stop looking through tunnel vision, which was focused exclusively on a single or limited goal or point of view. Tunnel vision, maintaining total focus on God. Saul did not do that. He allowed the fear of the attack of the Philistines, and he allowed the fear of the men running away, his army. And he became fearful, and he took matters in his own hands, which caused him to lose his position. It caused him to lose his position over Israel. And because of his disobedience, God said in verse 14, "But now your kingdom will not endure. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart and appointed him leader of his people, because you, Saul, have not kept the Lord's command." Now, that's severe. When God removes the candlestick out of its position because it no longer shines bright, the light in Saul has dimmed out. And out of disobedience, he lost the light that he needed to continue to shine bright as a shepherd over the Israelites. And he lost that light. But God, in verse 14, it says, "But now your kingdom will not endure." But thanks be to God, he had a ram in the bush. He saw a little boy, a young boy, in his father's field, tending to the sheep, who is a shepherd boy, that he will anoint king in replacement of Saul. Now, how does this reflect on you and me? Well, as I indicated in the intro, we are in a world that is full of sin. And we are in a world of leaders that have taken place, and a change of arms has come to this country. And so many people today put their trust and their faith and their hope in the wrong vision. They put their trust, their hope, and their faith and focus through the panoramic window. This panoramic window in the wrong leader will bring about anxiety, will bring about stress, will bring about fear, will bring about hurt and pain, and then eventually the body starts shutting down mentally and physically. Then you find yourself in a place of depression. You find yourself in a place of panic attacks. And you find yourself ultimately wringing your hands as if there's no hope. Putting your trust and focus in a leader and not the leader. And that's a capital L. So now we've got to realign our focus. Our focus should be tunnel vision on Christ Jesus and Jesus alone in a world that is full of sin. We, as believers in Christ Jesus, and for those of you who may not be a believer or have not accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, have not confessed to God that you are a sinner, that you cannot save yourself, then I advise you right now to fall on your knees or bow your head and surrender your life to God. That you would bow down and lift up holy hands to God, receiving him as your salvation. Salvation is a free gift. That we cannot come to God the Father, but only by Christ Jesus. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life according to Scripture, that no man can come to the Father but by him. So I just feel propelled and moved in my heart to just stop, drop, and pray right now. So brothers and sisters, if you could partner with me in prayer, that we pray a prayer of salvation for those who are listening to this broadcast by way of the internet, by way of their cell phone or device. We do not want to assume that every listener to Mission from the Heart is saved, is a believer in Christ Jesus. So for those of you who are partnering with me in prayer, pray for someone that you know that might be right there in your family. It might even be your spouse that may not be saved. It might be your child or your children or a nephew that is not saved, your daughter. And if that is, lift their name up in prayer. And for those of you who are listening, it's my words, but your heart. Come to the throne of grace with a whole heart, not half-hearted. Because remember, God knew the heart of Saul, and he knew the heart of that little boy, David. And so he knows your heart also. So if we would bow our heads and pray with me. And for those of you who do not know him in the pardoning of your sin, then pray and repeat after me, but prepare your heart for a blessing that is free. Lord God, I am a sinner. I need you, and I surrender my life to you. I know that Jesus died on that cross for my sin, that it was only by his blood that I could be saved. Lord, I believe Jesus is my way. I believe Jesus is my truth. And I believe Jesus is my life, eternal. And through salvation, he redeemed me. He paid it all for me. I am a sinner, Lord God. And you said if I come to you as humble as I know how, that you would save me. You would set up in my heart, on the throne of my heart, and you would make me afresh and born again. And I want that from you. Clean me up, O God. I accept you as my salvation. I believe by faith that I am saved by your perfect grace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for praying with me and partnering with me. And I pray that you lifted up that person within your circle of influence as you lifted them up in prayer of salvation, that they would come to know Jesus also. But for those of you who are listening and who have accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior on this day, praise ye the Lord. Rise up, attend a Bible teaching church in your community, that you would be baptized by way of submersion of water, buried in sin, but you rise up afresh anew. You rise new in Christ Jesus, that you would go and grow in grace and be discipled in a small group and continue to listen to this broadcast, Mission from the Heart, and that you would attend a Sunday school in your local church and make sure that the Word of God is being taught there, that you would be fed and receive the milk of the Word, that you would eat on the Word of God so that you could share it with others. Well, praise the Lord. So let's continue to see David as the one that God has chosen because of the disobedience of the other, Saul. And as we read in chapter 13, verse 14, God has called the prophet Samuel to appoint him leader of his people. And, of course, we know that to be David. And so as we see in 1 Samuel 13, we're going to cross-reference this in Acts. So we're going to move over to Acts chapter 13, and we're going to read that verse 22. And, of course, Acts is in the New Testament. And we're going to go to 13. Acts 13, verse 22. And I would like to start in verse, I usually like to kind of back up to verse 21. Then the people asked for a king. Now this is, yes, then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul. He gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin. Now think about that. Israel wanted a human king. Israel, they weren't satisfied with God the Father, Yahweh, Jehovah. They weren't satisfied with the divine king, the great king, the king of kings, the Lord of lords. They weren't satisfied with Jehovah, but they wanted a human leader, someone they can touch, someone they can see. Think about the world today. Some of us have come out of a time where we have taken a vote and we voted for a new leader and we put all of our focus on this one person. This is what they did, as it says in Acts. Then the people asked for a king. Who did they ask? After this, God gave them judges until the time of Samuel the prophet. And then it says in 21, then the people asked for a king, and he gave them Saul, son of Kish, of the tribe of Benjamin, who ruled 40 years. We read that in 1 Samuel 13. He ruled over them for 40 years. According to 1 Samuel 1. He reigned over Israel for 42 years. And here it says he gave them what they asked for. God gave the people what they asked for. So be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you pray about. Be careful who you and what you do. Staying focused. And as it says in the scripture, after removing Saul, verse 22 in Acts 13, after removing Saul, he made David their king. He testified concerning him, I have found David, son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. He will do everything I want him to do. Amen. He will do everything I want him to do. Now, God knows this about David. But now remember the characteristics of David. He was humble. He was reverent. He was respectful. He was trusting, he was loving, he was devoted, recognition, he was recognized, he was faithful, he was obedient, and he was repentant. David, he will do everything I want him to do. Now let's think about it this way. When David, who was anointed, appointed, and anointed, and God knew this man's heart. He knew this young man's heart. And does he know your heart? Does God know your heart? Does God know if you are going to stay focused on him, that you are going to surrender your life to him just as David did? And we see this in 1 and 2 Samuel. It has been testified in the book of Acts. And we know in the Psalms how David committed his life to God. Yes, he had some problems. Yes, he had children that went amok. They were just went astray. His family, his household was dysfunctional. But his heart was focused on Jesus Christ. His heart was focused on God. He was reverent. He was humble. He was surrendered. He surrendered his life to God. Let's look at some scripture that show his character, his being David. Because of his focus, it showed his character. Concerning his humbleness, according to Psalms 62, verse 9, Psalms 62, verse 9, it reads this way: low-born men are but a breath. The high-born are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Psalm 62, 9. I'm going to read this also in New Living Translation. Psalm 62, verse 9. And I want to read it in the New Living Translation as well. And it reads this way: from the greatest to the lowliest, all are nothing in his sight. If you weigh them on the scale, they are lighter than a puff of air. So staying humble, it doesn't matter from the greatest to the lowliest. All are nothing in his sight. Whose sight? God's sight. So if your focus is on the leadership of the world, it doesn't matter how prestigious they are. It doesn't matter how much money they have. It doesn't matter how many promises they try to make. It does not matter how great or small. They all are nothing in his sight. If you weigh them on a scale or on the scales, they are lighter than a puff of air. Remember, scripture tells us we are just a breath away from falling asleep on this side of heaven and not waking up. We are just a vapor in the wind, according to scripture. We're here today, and the old cliche used to say, we are here today and gone tomorrow. Well, as we see the world today, regardless of who is the leader of the time, we see people here today and gone today. That's how quickly we fade away. And according to scripture, it lets us know it doesn't matter how great you are or how lowly you are. All are nothing in his sight. But those who accept Jesus Christ and those who are in the household of faith, we are to stand up and stay focused on who we know is our shepherd, and that's Christ Jesus. When the body of Christ surrenders their life completely, their focus will not be shallow, their focus will be steadfast, and we will stand firm, sure-footed, with the full armor of God on, that we give glory and honor to Jehovah God. He is our great shepherd. He's our mighty provider. He is the one who hides us under his shadow of his wing, under the shadow of his wing, according to Psalm 91. And David, being the kind of man that he is, after God's own heart, and how he reverenced the Lord, according to Psalms 18, verse 3, I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I am saved from my enemies. This is how we are to go on our knees and reverence the Lord and give him the highest praise. And we are to bow down and worship him. That's focus. And that's surrenderance to God. Well, this brings us to the end of our broadcast for this particular teaching series, Tunnel Vision versus Panoramic Vision. We looked at point one, focus, in correlation of a leader in the world and a divine leader, God himself. And we will pick this back up on our next broadcast, and we will look at our next point being faith, the kind of faith we are to have with tunnel vision versus panoramic vision. So I want to thank you for being faithful to this broadcast. Thank you for listening to Mission from the Heart Radio. And I just employ you and encourage you to continue to be in devotion with God through prayer and Bible study and share the gospel with others. But always remember that the grass wither and the flowers fadeth away. But the word of God, it will always remain forever and ever. So God bless you.
It only takes one sip of a Minute Maid slushie from McDonald's to get you from cleaning the kitchen to paddleboarding on the ocean and having a dolphin swim up to you, who leads you to a secluded island where you meet your soulmate who says,
those dishes won't do themselves.
With so many flavors, where will your sip take you?
This summer, come to McDonald's and try a new Minute Maid Blue Raspberry Slushie, Cherry Limeade, or new Tropic Twist Slushie. Get a medium for only $1.39. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
At Carrabba's Italian Grill, people always seem to be saying,
wow!
Especially now, because you can take home our delicious sauté-to-order spaghetti and homemade meatballs made with our family recipe absolutely free.
Homemade spaghetti and meatballs for free? Just wow!
Order one of your Carrabba's favorites, Chicken Brian, Chicken Marsala, Polo Rosa Maria, or our Chicken Trio, and take home made-from-scratch spaghetti and meatballs.
For tomorrow night's dinner, free? Wow!
Hurry into Carrabba's today and get free spaghetti and meatballs for tomorrow. Limited time only, now through May 6th. Carrabba's, Italian worth talking about.